We are grateful to God from the bottom of our hearts for His word, which we hear in such abundance, and on top of it, in a balanced way, whether it is the doctrinal things, whether it is the prophetic part of the plan of salvation, whether it is the mysteries of God as they relate to this time, or the doctrines for the church. God has given us a lot of grace. We have no obligation to a denomination, not even to ourselves. We only have one obligation, and that is to the Lord, that we live up to Him in everything, so that He may stand as righteous. This afternoon, we will take time for prayer. We have to get to the point where a real fellowship of prayer arises, so that the Spirit of God can quicken our hearts, and so that He can reveal Himself. When it comes to the Word, we let it richly dwell among us. But when it comes to the work of the Spirit, we have perhaps fallen a little short. And God wants us to come into our own and not just be hearers, but recipients of what we have heard. And this happens when we open ourselves to God in prayer and faith, in full trust, and draw close to Him and believe that we have already received what we ask for. That is the right attitude, because with God, everything is already done. Everything is already accomplished. We spoke to Brother Kupfer a little earlier. Brother Kupfer and Brother Gilsong, we are deeply connected, of course, all of us here. But we exchange a few thoughts from time to time. And we've come to the conclusion that we are not Catholic in the sense that we bring out new things every day and keep repeating it around the clock, but we believe that God has done a perfect redemption in Christ, and that it belongs to us, and that we belong to Him, that we are redeemed. Of course, you can also be religious and want to clean things up again and again around the clock every day. But when will we believe that they have been cleaned up if we want to do it again and again every day? No, we can't. We must believe from the bottom of our hearts that God was, is, and will be merciful to us for all eternity. According to the scripture, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. He has atoned for our guilt. He has forgiven our sins. We are His property. And everything that may come daily, we commit to the Lord. But without letting the enemy enslave us anew, as you all know, that can also happen, that the enemy torments people in their conscience, oppress them, and heap reproaches on them, so that they cannot be happy. But those who look into the mystery of God and realize that it is free grace that has been bestowed upon us begin to give thanks because they believe. And because He believes, He gives thanks that just belongs together. We are going to, although I haven't read any scripture that could match what we heard last night and this morning, But the whole Bible is certainly full of passages that we can read and that also fit in with the topic we have been looking at. In Ephesians, we have this chapter that leaves us with instruction on how to do it or what to do. In Ephesians chapter 4, we have certainly looked at it several times in the past, how Paul first speaks of election, of predestination, then of sealing, and yet in chapter 4, from verse 22, we hear the following: that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It speaks about taking off the old man and putting on the new. We have heard that the Lord wants to take away our stony heart in order to give us a new one, a heart that can feel, a soft heart, full of compassion, full of mercy, a heart in which the Spirit of God can unfold, a heart in which the fruits of the Spirit can be revealed. And as we have seen this morning, we can only consecrate ourselves to God, meet Him halfway, and that is always Golgotha. That is where we meet the Lord. Everyone has to go that far themselves. God will not meet anyone beyond Golgotha. That is the point of God's encounter with us, namely at Golgotha. But everyone must get there themselves and must realize that is where God revealed Himself in Jesus Christ our Lord. What happened there, none of us could have done for ourselves. Perfect redemption, complete salvation, reconciliation, peace with God. Whoever stops before Golgotha will struggle their whole life long. But whoever comes to Golgotha and looks up to the Lord in faith and recognizes what has happened, great things will happen to him. For no man, no human being can get there. If we try to do this in our own way, then it can actually happen to us that we have not yet reached Golgotha, that we have not realized that we have been crucified with Christ. We must recognize this in faith and accept it as a divine fact for our lives. Come what may, God is always right. Don't think that God will ever prove us right. We will have to prove Him right. And we will have to say, as it is written, you have been proven right. When it comes to anything, God will always be right. When it comes to the Spirit of God, much has been written about it, much has been preached, views have been exchanged. We are actually concerned with the core of the matter. We don't just want to philosophize about it or develop a theory. We really want to see the true Spirit of God combined with the true Word of God, coming to His right in the true children of God. And here it is necessary, without getting carried away with our own enthusiasm, to go along. Look, a well burst open, and so it must be with us all. Our Lord says, the water that I shall give you shall be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Immediately afterwards it says, This is what he said about the Spirit who was to come upon all who would believe. Something just breaks open. It's not the mouth that begins. It starts in the heart, and then it breaks through. It comes forth. Then the lips move, and then we can praise and glorify the Lord. We heard the comparison here last night of the old trees that were bare. Our brother Gilsong told me that a few days ago he read the last verse of Ezekiel 17 at home. It says of the old trees and then again of the young that have come forth. God wants to make us into people who can bear fruit in due season like trees planted by the rivers of water. This too does not happen from us. It happens through the power of God, which wants to work through us. Again, no effort, but faith. Things are only realized through faith. If we don't believe, then it doesn't work. We must believe, believe as the scripture says. Only then can rivers of living water flow from us. Don't reason, don't ponder, don't say what will happen now, but believe what God has said and then claim it for ourselves personally. You can read many scriptures. In the prophet Ezekiel, the scripture known throughout the world is directly in the next chapter, in chapter 37, about the dead bones coming to life. And God made sure of that. God took care of it. And how did it happen? By the Spirit coming into them. It is a very important chapter, Ezekiel 37, which actually speaks of the revival of the people of Israel. But before the people of Israel can be revived, the church must be revived. She must be perfected. She must be adorned as a bride before she can be taken up to glory. We must all become completely one in God, in His Word, in His work, and also with one another, for that is where God has placed the blessing. Verse 4 of Ezekiel 37 reads, "Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." First comes the word of the Lord, and then comes the Spirit of God. We heard that too. The Spirit of God hovered over the deep, but nothing happened yet. Then the word of God and the Spirit of God came together with the word of God, and everything came forth. All life came forth. Every word that God spoke became a reality before His eyes. He spoke, it was there. He commanded, and it was there. The Spirit of God accompanied the Word of God and made what God had spoken appear. In the same way, the promises, the words of God in general, which we hear in these days, must be accompanied by the Spirit of God, not by pious ideas, no, by the Spirit of God, by the power of God, which makes the Word of God come alive. As you know, sometimes Brother Branham also made sensitive remarks about gifts, and we know that this is all right. Because there are enough people who have been anointed with the Holy Spirit, but who trample God's word underfoot, who won't listen to anything. And we see it even in churches that just a few years ago somehow maintained decency. Sisters let their hair grow. They made sure that at least everything was right on the outside. But if things are no longer right on the inside, then you no longer need to make sure that everything is right on the outside. What use is long hair if it's still not right on the inside? But Brother Branham says, that if it is right within us, then it will also be right on the outside. But when you see that even in the churches of the full gospel, the young sisters sing in the choir wearing trousers, everything has taken on worldly forms, and yet one has received the Holy Spirit and is so sure to see the glory of God. And when Brother Branham takes these things a little sharply, then they have an inner rebellion and say, "Huh, what is he trying to tell me? What kind of spirit is it that rebels against God's word? It's not the Holy Spirit. If it is the Holy Spirit, then the connection to the word of God is there, even if it is sharper than a two-edged sword. Then the connection with God is there through the Word and Spirit. But we want to look at ourselves in the light of God and not at others. Today, God is speaking to us. And if we are not careful, it could happen to us, if time were to last another 10 years, that everything would look completely different. But believe me, God will make sure, whether young or old, that something fundamental happens in all of us. I don't want to have to watch as we go down the drain. I want to watch as we are led from clarity to clarity, from blessing to blessing, from knowledge to knowledge. I absolutely don't want to witness a downfall. I want to experience an upswing in the truest sense of the word by the grace of God. And this spiritual upswing must and will come. I don't expect us to go down. Those who want to go down, let them go. But we want to go on with God. And with God, it really goes up from clarity to clarity and from truth to truth. It then goes on to say in verse 9, "Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, or breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army." I do not want to go into this matter doctrinally, but I would not be surprised if this refers to those of the people of Israel who will have to lay down their lives and then enter the millennium. In any case, the Spirit of God, the breath of life, came into them, and they stood on their feet again, an exceeding great army. What God will do with the remnant of Israel, can he not do with the remnant of the church? Of Israel it is written, "Though your number be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant shall be saved." What about the church? There is a handful left, a remnant that cannot be seen or heard anywhere. But it is precisely with this remnant that God wants to bring to an end the plan of salvation. God does not need 30,000, like in the days of Gideon. 300 are enough, if they are the right 300, so that God can fulfill what he has planned. And by grace, we want to be part of it. It was not your choice. It wasn't us who loved him. He loved us. It wasn't us who sought him. He sought us. It wasn't us who found him. He found us. But because we know that he loved us first, we can love him with all our hearts. There was another scripture from Romans, which we are all very familiar with, that the Holy Spirit, or the love of God, is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Not bossiness, not knowing better, but the nature of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. In Ezekiel we read that God wanted to give us a new heart, a new spirit, and then of His Spirit. Here we are shown how this happens. For hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We should read the three verses before. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Verse 2. That's how it says here. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience or perseverance. And then this verse, and patience, experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. One interlocks with the other. The state of grace, free access to God. The veil was torn. The blood of the Lamb of God has not seeped into the sand. He entered the Holy of Holies with His own blood to offer it on the mercy seat, to remain as a faithful high priest until the last one has been called out, brought in, and the bride has reached perfection. And only then does He arise as advocate and comes to take us home as bridegroom. So we have gained access to our present state of grace through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Oh yes, connected with the grace of God is also the glory of God. If we have experienced the grace of God, really experienced it, then we will also experience that we will see His glory. Then it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. But we mostly complain, at least that's how I feel. In tribulation come the days that we don't like, but they have been promised to all of us. On whom they have not yet come, perhaps they will still come, unless the Lord comes sooner. But here it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. If this is so, then we need tribulation, and we fight it and resist. We rebel against it. We don't want the tribulation. And how are we going to get the steadfast perseverance or patience that we need to experience the last promises of God if we are missing a link in the chain? No, everything is told to us in the Word of God. Can you tell me what God has forgotten? Every point is illuminated. Every doctrine is here. Every knowledge, everything is here in the Word of God. What has God forgotten? He has forgotten our sins, and has even cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. Yes, that's what it says here. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. We must prove ourselves in everything. We must persevere. We must endure whatever comes or goes. Our salvation is not dependent on temporal things. It is eternal and will be with the Lord forever because we have received eternal life. I wanted us to sing the song, "I was cleansed of guilt," but at the end of the chorus is this phrase, "Yes, I believe in the eternal Son of God." And you know, because we take the scriptures so precisely as God has left them to us in His Word, there is really no passage that would say that the Son is eternal. On the contrary, the scripture says, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." And when I sing the chorus to myself, I sing in the glorious Son of God. And that's true, isn't it? But let's be precise with the Holy Scriptures. The Scripture says, "Everlasting Father." We say amen to that. The Scripture says, "Unto us a child is born." We say amen. When it says, "He's the Prince of Peace," we say amen. When it says, "Mighty God," we say amen. "Everlasting Father," we say amen. We always say amen, but only if we find it in the Scripture. If we don't find it, we don't say amen. Why should we say amen to what people have put together? I think I must have mentioned it this morning or last night. My memory is not good enough to remember it. When I read of this divine economic unity, a person really must imagine this. In the monthly magazine of the greatest evangelist the world has known in the 20th century, that there can be an article about the Trinity, and then go as far as I have never seen, heard, or read before. It really states that the divine Trinity forms an economic unit. Yes, that's terrible. And what have we said here recently? It's not a judgment. It's just a statement of how gracious God has been to us. People are all going with the flow. They've adopted the teachings and taken them who knows how far, and don't even know that it's a false knowledge of God. And they baptize and teach the Godhead in the wrong way and think they have the greatest program of God on earth. No, God is in His Word. And if His Word is in us, then God is in us. God cannot go beyond His Word. And God will never profess human programs. He has a program, and we want to be inserted into it. Verse 5 again, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Divine, pure, holy love that does not impute what was evil. Love that rejoices with the truth. As we can all read in 1 Corinthians 13 and many other passages. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, is written the well-known word, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." No more bondage. Did you hear yesterday when Brother Branham said, "There are dictators everywhere," and I thought to myself, There is one pope there in the Vatican, but there are hundreds and thousands of little popes everywhere. May God grant us the grace to know only one authority, and that is the divine authority of the Word in our midst. There is no man on earth who has any authority. There is only one divine authority, and that is the authority we have received from God through the Word and the Spirit of God. There is no man who has anything to say. Even Brother Branham could only bring the Word, and therein was the authority, yes, the power, and he was ordained by God to bring the Word at this time. You all saw it and witnessed it. When the film was shown, he stood there helplessly and said, "I'm waiting for something." And then suddenly it was there. We stand here so helplessly, but we trust God, not ourselves, that he is able to do everything. Oh, that we could pray in such a way today, that God hears us. We are no longer under bondage. Let me read or emphasize again. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. How many have fear? Fear of this, fear of that, fear, fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear is not in love. In love is trust. In love is faith. In love are all the things that God has promised us. They are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So let us not be enslaved, and let us not be in fear. No, we no longer need that. Let us come to God today in trust, in reverence. That is a big difference. Not in fear, but in holy reverence we come before the face of God. And we come in faith, we come in confidence, for we have not received the spirit of bondage, but the spirit of adoption. We can rightly say to our God, Heavenly Father, because he has made us sons and daughters. And here it is written in verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. A testimony of the Spirit of God to our spirit that we have become children of God. What did Brother Branham say? We did not add anything to come into this world, to be born here. We also did not add anything to be born again unto a living hope. Everything is in God's plan, and we have been placed into this plan of God. I am grateful that I was not only born into this world, but that I was born out of this world, that I was born of God, received eternal life, and that the Spirit of God has borne witness to me that I have become a child of God. And then the whole world may come to an end, but nothing will change. Don't you ever believe that there is a power on earth that could destroy God's plan. There is no such power. Satan is far from being omnipotent. Anyone who thinks Satan is omnipotent has confused God with the devil. There is only one who is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, and that is God. And Satan has long since been given his limits, and one day it will be over for him forever. And then the Lord will no longer need to deal with him. Michael will take care of that. The Lord has defeated him, and the victory is ours. At that time, our Savior said, "Now the judgment is upon the prince of this world." And he says, "The prince of this world has been judged, and we have been set free." He has been judged, and we are free. God did not judge the side issues, but the cause. And that was the cause of all sin and all transgression. We were only dragged into it. We didn't belong in it at all. We were ordained to be sons and daughters of God before the foundation of the world. Now the last verse here, it's all wonderful things that are written here. Verse 17 in Romans 8. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Suffering is not my thing at all. And perhaps there are a few more who are modeled on me. But it is part of it. It is part of it. God will never put more on us than we can bear. And we also heard it last night. When we walk in step with the Lord, the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Yes, Brother Branham literally said, then the yoke is light as a feather. But we sometimes get pressure marks here and there. That is then our fault. Then we are not quite in tune with the Lord. If we are in harmony, in the right step, then everything goes wonderfully. May God give it to me. May God give it to you. May God give it to us all. And may He grant us today to use this free access to simply raise our voices because our hearts are urging us to talk to God. And then we too will feel His blessing descend upon us. We have said it again and again. God speaks to us in the sermon and through the word. When we pray, we speak to God. And the Lord sends us His blessing. We deliberately didn't want to take long today, because some of you may encounter winter conditions. And as I thought about it, the word that the Lord God spoke came to me. While the earth remaineth, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter. Every word of God is and remains true. So don't complain when you come into winter conditions. Just say, faithful Lord, your word has come true before our eyes. We thank you for it. Yes, what shall we do? This is what He has said in His word, and it will remain so as long as time continues. May God richly bless us all. Amen. Let's come to the front quickly to pray together before the face of God. Brother Branham also said this, the altar is no longer adorned with tears, but with lilies. Let us come and give thanks to our God. Let us worship. His word has come to us, and for that we are very grateful. What a chorus did I say earlier? I was clean from guilt. Believe it with all your heart and just sing along. From guilt I was clean. I entered into joy. Eternally I praise Him, my Savior. I have peace and rest, for the blood covered what lay so heavily upon me. Yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. Yes, I believe in the Savior with all my heart. Yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. In the glorious Son of God.